You're listening to The Astrology Show on the Barefoot Broadcast with your hosts, Carl Munson and Louisa Tanner Munson.
And you know what? That is so true. You are listening to the Barefoot Broadcast and it's Sunday night, 11 o'clock in the UK. So that means it's time for The Astrology Show. Hosted by me, Carl Munson, the Barefoot Broadcaster, and our very special... Let me just put an effect on for this. And at a great expense, from the other side of the kitchen table, it's the Barefoot Broadcast, very own, no expense spared, Louisa Tanner Munson! Good evening, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Well, you know, a little bit stressed because we've been trying to create a transformation talk show. And a vital element in that is people talking, obviously. And one great way of having people talk is to get them across onto the show via Skype.
Yeah.
And that caused so many problems last night. It crashed the show, basically. We had our lovely listeners like Kimberly tuned in. Oh, we've started off in the bedroom. So I'll explain what I mean by that. Can you hear?
Yes, I can.
Do you want to go and see what that sounds like?
Yeah,
that would be pretty good, actually. That's a nice belt and braces while I explain myself to people who are listening when I say we've started off in the bedroom.
Oh, brilliant.
And what I mean to say is we are our own producers. We do everything here. We are the presenters, the producers, and sometimes the only audience, in fact, on our own show here. But let's see who turns up tonight for the Barefoot Astrology Show. Continuing with the asteroid goddesses, that is the specialist subject and very special interest of our resident astrologer, Louisa Tanner Munson, here on the Barefoot Broadcast tonight. We started last week and we had a lot of fun with it. We have some mini readings tonight and further explanation of the asteroid goddesses and more generally the effect asteroids have within one's astrological forecasting makeup plan, if you like. So she's in the bedroom or checking out my output, so to speak. It doesn't get any better, does it? Carry on Barefoot Broadcasting and that great British sense of humour. How does it sound in there?
Sounds great.
Does it? Oh, that's good. That's really nice to know that we're sounding okay. And we're here for the next hour or so. And Mrs. M is limbering up. I'm going to tell us more now because you can hear that I'm floundering because I know nothing about the asteroid goddesses. We started last week with some awesome forecasting about prominent politicians in the world. And you're going to continue tonight with your... Not a prominent woman. You should have seen the look of terror on her face. She's unprepared for that. Tell us, what are you going to share with us tonight about asteroid goddesses? Where are we going on the show tonight? And how can people get involved if they want to?
I don't actually know. How can people get involved if they want to?
Back to me. It's as though I love the sound of my own voice. If you want to get involved, Skype is not the way. Because we had Hillary come in via Skype.
So how did people contact us then?
Trash the show. The Spreaker chat box. The good old Spreaker chat box. I think it's going to be too technologically dangerous to welcome people via Skype. I'm working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became such a victim of its own complexity after last night's show that we're going to go back to basics. So we're going to talk to you via the Spreaker chat box. I hope that's okay with you. And... if you're listening via Spreaker now, which is in fact what you'd have to be doing because it's the only way to listen, you will see that there is a Spreaker chat box. The more senior and experienced members of our listenership will know that the Spreaker chat box is the little yellow speech bubble, often yellow speech bubble, and you can just send us a message in there and we would be grateful if you would, with your commentary, with your insight, with your jokes, whatever you want to say to us. We're very open and approachable, would you not say?
I would say that.
Good. Okay. Yeah. So that's how people can get in touch, or via Facebook. Actually, we have a the Barefoot Broadcast page. We also have our own Facebook pages, which you may besmirch with your input.
You were asking what we were going to do on the show today.
Yeah.
I was kind of keeping it a bit loose and baggy.
Oh dear.
Purely because there's the partial lunar eclipse tomorrow.
Yes, we've got a clip to play. Would you like us to do that?
Well,
or would you, or do you want to talk about it live?
We can just talk about it live.
All right,
let's talk about it live then. So we've got the partial lunar eclipse tomorrow at 7:20 in the evening, UK time. And essentially what it is, it's a full moon in Aquarius, which is obviously opposite the sun in Leo. So we've got the usual full moon tensions, if I can say that. It's happening at 15 degrees Aquarius and Leo. So anybody who has their birthday this weekend, or anyone that has Aquarius at 15 degrees really highlighted in their chart, or also 15 degrees Leo, will notice some effects from the lunar eclipse tomorrow. But the thing that really interests me is the themes going on with the asteroids, because this is what the show's about, I guess. We've got two asteroids that are conjunct the sun and moon tomorrow, emphasizing and coloring and kind of adding an extra bit of personality to the whole full moon feeling and the lunar eclipse feeling. So all the unspoken energies of a usual full moon and the tensions that come about during those are going to be coming up tomorrow. So the asteroids then, the first one is Atropos, which is conjunct the sun. Now, wouldn't it be nice if Atropos was a warm and fluffy kind of asteroid?
However, it is not. This is the god of the skies calling to you, Atropos.
Atropos means inevitable and the end.
Dear, oh dear.
So that was a very nice kind of, you know...
there's no way of
spooky
gift wrapping this bad boy, is there?
No, there's not. And I guess that's why I wanted to talk it through with you rather than play a clip. Because I guess it's saying it's the start of the end at the time of the partial lunar eclipse. So you've got Atropos, the start of the end, conjunct the sun in Leo. So, you know, on the one hand, that sounds quite ominous. But if you think what comes after the end, a new start comes. So it's also the, you know, it's the ending of the old ways and the beginning of the new.
Circle of life.
Yes. Yes, 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 definitely. The asteroid that's conjunct the full moon tomorrow is Magdalena. And Magdalena, what do you think Magdalena
That's funny, isn't it? We had her visit us.
Yeah, we had our Just friend Magdalena.
If you tuned in tonight, Magdalena back in Belgium, good evening to you, and it was lovely to see you. But have I got to guess what the asteroid Magdalena is about?
Yeah.
Let me see now. I've absolutely no idea.
It's about the rise of the divine feminine.
Of course, Mary Magdalena.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, got it.
So you've got this juxtaposition between the sun and the moon, which you normally have with a full moon and with a, you know, a lunar eclipse. So you've got the tensions between the mother and the father, the male and the female, the yin and the yang. And so on the yangy side, i.e. the male side, you've got Atropos, which is, this is the end. And
do that again.
This is the end. And then on the feminine side, you've got Magdalena, the rise of the divine feminine. So the asteroids are actually mirroring the polarity that they're attached to. So a very, very strong theme going on. So you've got the paternalistic father being challenged by the wise cool woman, and they're, you know, at odds with each other. Now, there's another asteroid that's in quite a prominent position, and this is Deucalion. And Deucalion is square both of these asteroids.
Doing cracking names tonight.
I know. Well, Deucalion is about how you save yourself, how you start over again. So it's really funny that Deucalion's message is about starting over again and saving yourself. Like, how do you repopulate? How do you... you know, how do you get things going again? You know, it's about recycling, really. You know, how do you make things work?
What came to mind there was your preoccupation with gut flora. Is that a useful analogy?
Yeah, it could very well be.
The reintroduction of friendly bacteria, yeah. Or not? I guess the choice is yours.
Well, I often think that if everyone solved their gut bacteria, you know, this as above, so below. If everyone solved their gut bacteria and got rid of all the bacteria that was intent on killing them, maybe this planet would be, you know, there would be peace on Earth.
Oh, well, if the primary brain got sorted, the primary brain of the planet may also get sorted.
Exactly.
Well, I never.
That's just my own little weird and wacky thought. But anyway, so Deucalion, this idea of how do you save yourself and repopulate, how do you recycle everything, and how do you make things work? Well, Deucalion square them both, which is kind of implying that both of them are in their stress position. So you've got control versus compassion, and you've got this whole idea of who's actually going to save the world. You've got this, the left and the right also, and each of them are parodies of themselves. So the controllers, i.e. the male Atropos sun in Leo kind of energy, is saying, we can make it work, but you have to follow us. We have to lead you, and you have to follow us, because we're going to control this situation and make it work. And if we don't, it's all going to go really, really badly. And the feminine side is saying, well, hang on a second, we can do this together. We can talk about this. We can make it work, but it has to be done in compassion and collaboration. What they don't realise is there's another linking planet, or another linking aspect within the chart.
The transcendent, possibly?
I don't know. No. It links in
bad
a little
guess,
Carl. It links in a little bit to what Hillary, our friend, was talking about last night on the show. You've got Saturn conjunct Lilith. Now, Lilith is another female archetype that you don't want to upset, because she, you know, she's a female archetype that's been suppressed, and so you've got this feminine rage coming up. So you've got this angry feminine archetype, and also an angry male represented by Saturn, and they're conjunct in Sagittarius. Now, those two could be working together, and they're square Neptune, which is to do with the hidden and the illusory, and also square Chiron, which is about pain and the magic of our initial wounds. Now, if male and female could only work through their own issues and listen, this is why I like your new strap line for the Barefoot Broadcast, you know, try listening. If we were to listen to each side, we'd realise where each other's coming from. And the chances are we've all got these things going on in our lives, you know, so, you know, if you're not necessarily connected in to what's going on around the world with world governments and corporations and our rights being given away to the divine masculine, you know, there's like a smash and grab going on at the moment where the powers that be are saying, look, you can't really run your lives very well. Just, you know, you relax, we'll do it for you. But to do that properly, we need to take this right and this right and this right. So what's going on is, without us listening to each side and understanding that maybe the male side, or, you know, sorry to say male versus female, but the control side, if we actually listen to where they're coming from and why they're doing this at the moment, it might be through some kind of, I don't know, pain from their childhood, you know, that means that the only way they can survive in life is by taking the chance and grabbing what they can when they can. And, you know, it's not until they understand where their attitudes are coming from that, you know, they're ever likely to listen. And it's the same with the sort of the other side, which could be going into victimhood and could be in, oh, woe is me, and, you know, this is all, everything's always taken from me, blah blah. So we've all got to listen to each other and also start to rise up. But essentially what's happening is these archetypes are being laid out bare for us to see. So there's absolutely no mistaking them, and, you know, whichever side you feel more aligned to, that's the side, you know, where you need to look in your life and think, okay, well, this is what I'm identifying with, but there is that controller in me, or there is that victim in me. Where have they come from? And we've got to do this work.
So people at the moment can literally be looking to the skies,
yeah,
shaking their fists, seeking inspiration, and it's there.
Yep. The other thing to also remember is anything that we're not aware of now is just going to come up and really bite us on the backside on the total solar eclipse.
So ignorance is blitz.
Literally. The solar eclipse is...
That was with a Z, everybody, just
yeah,
in case
it didn't come. Yeah, I didn't get that. Is on the 21st of August, so in a couple of weeks' time. And it's the first total solar eclipse to actually happen in America since 1979. So it's going to be visible. And that one is really, really pertinent for people born at the end of Leo. Anything with 28, 29 degrees Leo are going to be boom. It's going to really trigger things for them. So all I would say is just be aware of what's going on, because whatever's happening in the world is happening to all of us individually. And collectively at the same time. We're all part of this pattern.
Yeah, well, this is well worth bearing in mind, isn't it? That yes, it would appear we're all alone struggling with our various scripts, but that we have a collective sensibility as well, don't we? So it bodes well, or it would behoves us,
yeah,
sort of word people like to use, isn't it, to look after each other.
Yes.
And recognise the oneness rather than the polarity, which is so much of what our work's about here on the Barefoot Broadcast, is reminding ourselves that in what seems to be such a polar and separate and individual world, we are still one.
Yeah. And yeah, sorry, I'm glad you said polar and separate, because actually the description I've just given was just so polar and opposite that it does sound like there's no coming together. It is really through listening and understanding. And of course, the more masculine side is less likely to want to listen to the feminine side, because they're already in that place of I'm in control. You know, people who are in that place don't want to listen, whereas people who are a lot more collaborative are going to say, oh, come on then, you know, let's listen.
Yeah.
But it's not to ascribe roles to people, for instance, like Jeremy Corbyn.
Jeremy Corbyn.
You know, would probably be, would be most likely to side on the feminine, on the Magdalena side, you know, the rise of the collective and the collaborative. The other thing that I liked what you just said was on the North and South node as well, we've got two very key asteroids also in place, all just lined up, ready to give us another karmic reading. The South node represents our collective karmic past, and the North node represents where we're heading. Now, Apophis is on the North node, and that's also known as the Destroyer. So in this chart tomorrow, we've got our karmic direction is going towards the destruction, you know, the Destroyer. And on the Sun, we've got Atropos, which means the start of the end. So I really think it is, I mean, there was something reached last week, wasn't it? There was that moment where on Earth it was reported that,
well, I don't know where that came from. But it was kind of peak consumption. Is this the thing you're talking about?
Yeah,
that I mentioned
to Ollie
this at the lunchtime. Thank you, Ollie, for a lovely lunch, by the way. Yes, apparently we have reached a point where a tipping point where we are now consuming more than the world can provide for us. Now,
right,
I thought that happened ages ago.
I would have thought that too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Certainly trends that I was hearing about from the, you know, the doom, eco doom mongers, was that we are currently consuming the resources of 3 to 5 planets already. Maybe that was a projection based on population growth, but it's a sobering idea.
Yeah.
But do you mention it from the point of view of how dismal it is, or how incorrect it might be?
Well, I mean, who actually knows anything these days, because you've got so many different news sources and bits and pieces floating around the internet, and so many opinions, everything's so, you know, I think because
bitty.
Yeah, people,
it's like
just
bits of information,
and people just grab onto whatever they can hold on to, because it gives them some kind of purchase in life, you know, that they feel like, oh, I know where I am now. Nobody knows where they are, and people don't seem very content to allow themselves to just be, you know, not grab hold of anything, you know. The reason I mentioned that is just that we've got two very key asteroids in very key places, to do with the end. And you know, I'm not going to be standing there with a sign saying the end is now. What I think is we've got a chance for a new beginning, because the direction we're heading in, if we carry on, like it's the old adage, if you keep making the same decisions, you're going to keep getting the same results.
The definition of insanity.
Exactly. So if we're becoming aware of what we don't want in the world, we need to actually start changing behaviors and thinking differently. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, on the south node, which is representing our collective past, our, you know, the karma that we're coming from, you've got Damocles. Now Damocles is to do with how we viewed wealth in the past. And the whole message of Damocles as an asteroid is to realize that wealth doesn't bring us peace, and it doesn't bring us security. What it actually brings us is quite a lot of grief, and the realization that once we relinquish wealth, we have a sudden surge of freedom. So it's almost as if some point in the distant collective past of humanity, we may well have lived without money, or we may well have...
Sure we did.
Yeah, lived it with a different idea, or lived with a different ethic. And it's almost as if the astrological makeup for tomorrow at the time of the partial lunar eclipse is saying, listen to our DNA, you know, like listen to the heartbeat of what's gone on in the past. Mm. That is, you know, a symbol of where we could be. And I think people are so frightened of the concept that, you know, we could be free of money, you know, because people imagine, or that the idea of what money is could change. Mm-hmm. But I think what is being symbolized is this crazy addiction to greed and having and consumption. Acquisition. It's got to stop.
Yes. Well, interesting you should say that. And I hope you don't mind this, what might seem like a little bit of a tangent. It gives you a chance to at least have a sip of tea there, doesn't it?
Thank you.
This is a book that Enrico, who we met this afternoon, Enrico Tortolano, a new friend of ours, who's one of those wonderful... lefty Brexiters. I hope he doesn't mind me outing him as that. In fact, he's on public record, isn't he? He's debated Eddie Izzard about it, so yeah. I don't think he's got any problem with me outing him about that. And that's another subject for another time, the people on the left wanting to be out of the EU. But he recommended a book, Debt, The First 5,000 Years by David Graeber. Every economics textbook says the same thing. Money was invented to replace onerous and complicated barter systems to relieve ancient people from having to haul their goods to market. The problem with this version of history, there's not a shred of evidence to support it. Here in this book, anthropologist David Graeber presents a stunning reversal of conventional wisdom. He shows that for more than 5,000 years, since the beginning of the agrarian empires, humans have used elaborate credit systems, a system that far preceded cash or organized barter. It is in this area Graeber shows that we also first encounter a society divided into debtors and creditors, which I think will be very illuminating. So thank you for letting me transgress there.
No, that's absolutely fine.
Tangentialize.
Well, that's great, because I actually think, you know, that is, you know, one potential answer is to rethink the way we think about value and how we share things within the world. I particularly like the message that Charles Eisenstein has, you know, with his idea of sacred economics. You know, just because I'm suggesting that the idea of money might drastically change in the next few months, and that we might need to do that as a matter of urgency, because the direction it's taking us in is it's setting us up for a downfall.
Well, it's all about fear, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's about control. But the moment you start working to make money and pay money back, that's the moment you lose sight of what's important. And that is what's going on a huge global scale.
And it atomizes us again, doesn't it?
It puts us against each other.
It promotes singularity and individualism.
Yeah.
And this is something that, I mean, last night was one of the greatest shows we ever recorded. Shame it didn't record.
Yeah.
Sorry if that's a contradiction, but it was great having a conversation with Hilary Woollett, the Reverend Hilary, who was telling
us
about non-violent communication. I never tire of hearing about non-violent communication. And I think basically what she was saying as a kind of context for her comments about NVC was that There's only love. Mm. And anything that is not love is error. And that's what causes all the problems. And that's the difference between a giraffe listening and a jackal listening.
Yes.
If we were all in giraffe, if we were all in love, if we wouldn't need a money system, mm. because everyone would just be looked after. But as soon as it starts, I mean, it's like the biblical fall in a way, isn't it?
Mm.
As soon as that first bite of the financial apple takes place and there's this knowledge that we can get ahead of each other,
yes.
or separate from each other, mm-hmm. that seems to be a path we take. The fear comes in, the love goes, mm. and then we're all set out against each other. And this is a system that's been encouraged, isn't it? Or it's just grown like a bacteria.
Yeah.
So much so that we don't even know that there's anything other than that thing now.
Yeah, it's just a fight for life. And
yeah.
And the narrative on evolution is that it's the strongest will survive. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that's just a crock.
Yeah.
And that actually nature wouldn't have evolved this far had it not been for collaboration and for caring.
Well,
when you look at mammal habits, you know, the way mammalians behave, it's collaboration, it's care, it's community. You know, animals, like, you look at mammal families, they all sleep together, they all protect each other, they stick together, they don't sell each other out because it might get them slightly higher on the pecking order.
Interestingly, there was apparently a program on BBC Two in the UK earlier on this evening, Silicon Valley Secrets or something along those lines, where people from Silicon Valley have seen the future and they don't like it and they've decided to drop out and become survivalists.
Yeah.
But one of the things apparently that might come from that is one of the predictions for the future is the universal income.
Yes.
And that's a kind of loving gesture, isn't it? It's like, well, let's just give everyone money enough that their needs can be met, because we messed it up by not just sharing stuff anyway. So let's give them the money instead to buy the stuff that we're not giving people. But again, you can see that, can't you? As soon as it's suggested as an idea, as soon as there is a massive gift to everybody, then the fear comes in again, doesn't it, inflation, about what inflation that might bring about, how people will gather it and others will lose it and so on.
Yeah, I've heard people say, well, but that's unfair because they haven't worked for it. There's this idea of them and us.
You know? Yes.
Why would we give it to them? You know, what are they going to do with it? I like the idea that everyone is given a chance to just rest for a moment and take stock of what they're interested in, because if all of our needs were met, then people would actually start to create something of real beauty. I imagine for quite a few years.
Well.
Yeah, I think for a few years people would probably, you know, do nothing and take their time and, you know, maybe slack off a bit. But then the things that are important to people would come out.
Awkward presuppositions and premises in that argument. Is that one of the problems with our system is that if you stand still, you go into debt, and that's something that needs to be addressed. It should be possible to tread water without finding yourself in debt.
Yeah,
that will be a great thing in our world.
Yeah.
Is that the overhead cost of being alive, if you like, you know, in as much as the human being is the only creature that pays to be here. The rest just take it for granted, don't they, that they exist and their needs will be taken care of,
yes.
for better or for worse.
Yeah.
And it does look a bit brutal and wild sometimes. But us lot, it's brutal and wild in a different way, because just by being, you are, the meter is running,
yes.
in most societies.
The moment you're born.
Now, taking that away would be an interesting thing. You know, we assume that it costs to be alive, and it doesn't actually cost to be alive. It costs because that's what people have said happens, and that's how we're brought up to believe that you've got to pay to be alive.
Yeah.
Let alone amass any additional surplus or wealth, or pursue the things you might just naturally be interested in.
Well, you've got to pay to have your birth certificate, haven't you?
And your passport.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's not a single opportunity wasted by those who seek to cream off a little bit of profit.
Yeah.
On that note, may I play this so that you can cream off a little bit of profit and try and get a few readings?
Yeah, yes, okay.
You're listening to The Astrology Show on the Barefoot Broadcast with your hosts Carl Munson and Louisa Tanner Munson. Find out more at www.louisatannermunson.com. If you'd like to book a private reading with Louisa, email her at louisatanamunson@gmail.com.
So there you go. That's our little virtual begging bowl held before you, isn't it? And it, you know, it's the wonderful contradiction, isn't it? If we have all our lofty ideas about how humanity could survive, yet we have to play a commercial. we're still in that system as well. I'd love to share that new business model idea, or is it too early to do that?
Maybe a bit too early.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of things we can talk about as well, like Mercury going retrograde.
Well, yes, you read my mind, yeah. But that's because you're quite an intuitive person, isn't it? And yes, we came up with a little catchphrase, didn't we? Metro in retrograde, Mercury in retrograde, to be feared or revered.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might be able to put this to rest finally, but Mercury in retrograde has such a fear factor attached to it that it's not going to be put to rest anytime soon, is it?
No, because in popular thinking, it's a bad thing. You know, there's loads of memes on Facebook that have been going around for at least 3 years to go, oh God, this is going wrong. Oh, it must be, Mercury retrograde. But actually, I see Mercury retrograde as a time to rethink things and go back through what's going on. If you think about the way your mind is set up, you've got all these little programs running all the time, and the same with your computer, your phone, your car, everything is regulated and has its little routine of how things start up, these sequences. And when Mercury goes retrograde, in fact, Mercury doesn't go retrograde at all. I mean, Mercury...
What a shock horror.
Mercury carries on moving. It's just, it appears to go retrograde because of our planet and its journey around the sun. If all of what we've been told there is, as it, you know, is actually correct.
Oh my God, yeah. Let's go with that for now, shall we?
Yes, yes. So... our idea of Mercury is that Mercury goes retrograde, and in fact all the planets go retrograde. They don't actually, it's just how they appear to move from our vantage point on the planet. And there's the clue in itself. Nothing is changing about thought, which is, and communication, which is represented by Mercury. What does change is our vantage point of it and how we relate to it. So Mercury going retrograde, it has been noted that when Mercury goes retrograde, you know, you might have technical issues with your phones and your computers, you know, or you might be writing a document and you lose it, or you're late for an appointment because of something, or you know, a piece of correspondence goes missing, all those kinds of communication faux pas and problems are ascribed to Mercury retrograde. Truth is, that happens all the time, but it does seem to happen more during those times. But Mercury retrograde is a really good moment in time to review all of your thought processes, your thinking processes, all the schedules and sequences that you go through every single day, because it might be that the patterns you've got aren't really serving you. So it's fabulous for people who are creative and who need to use their power of creation to do something really magical in the world. So anyone in music or writing and screenplays, in illusions, in magic, in philosophy, you know, anyone that is communicating something really vast and kind of inconceivable can really use this time to create some new models that can be used. So it's an amazing time to totally rewire your brain. It's a great time to have therapy. It's a great time to do hypnotherapy. It's a great time to do regressions. It's a fabulous time to work out all the kinks, the things that you don't like about the way you're patterned, and to make it work for you. Because when it goes direct again, when Mercury actually appears to move straightforward again, that's when you start to piece things back together. So I see it as a fabulous time to evolve.
But do you know what a retrosexual is? Why are you laughing?
No.
It's a simple question.
A retrosexual.
A retrosexual is someone who hooks up with their ex during Mercury retrograde and blames it on the stars.
Well, that's a funny one, because when Venus goes retrograde, I think it's like every other year or every 2 years that Venus goes retrograde. That is a time when ex-lovers and, you know, when our mind is turned to people of the past. So that's about your feelings going backwards. So that kind of fits in with Venus retrograde more, I think, but that's very funny. Did you just make that up?
No, I didn't. You said there were loads of... I wish I did.
Yeah, you could have done.
You said there are loads of memes about Mercury and retrograde. Oh, and I'm just looking at a few. Some of them I can't read out.
Yeah.
Another one says it's an astrological fact. Human errors, delays and repairs are the highest under Mercury retrograde than during any other time of the year. Mm. The thing I would question there is there such a thing as an astrological fact?
Ooh.
And I don't mean that badly.
No.
You know, I just don't think...
I think it's really difficult to prove one way or another.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look at astrology, you could say, well, is that because of Mercury retrograde, or is that because Mercury is square Neptune, or because it's doing this or that or the other?
But it does provide us with an excellent pitch point for talking about these things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And if I could just go back slightly, I didn't see these messages from Kimberly, who says we're sounding... Well, I'm assuming she thinks we're sounding better. She's basically saying it's good to be able to hear us tonight, which she couldn't tonight. So thank you so much, Kimberly, for joining us. And she asked the question, is it the global debt prison, going back to our earlier... And we described it earlier on today, didn't we, as an open prison.
Yes.
You know, that's what the money system seems to have done, is created a slavery whereby everyone actually has to pay their own overheads. They're all sort of slaves to a system, but you have to buy your own uniform. In this country, she says, you either need to get ill or opt out and be called a scrounger, when perhaps the body and mind just need a healing hiatus from time to time in order to recalibrate and be our best selves, to offer our true gifts to the world. Absolutely right, as far as we're concerned. May I speak for you on that?
Yeah, you can. And I would say there's such a rise in autoimmune illnesses, in the last 30 years. I think a lot of people with autoimmune illnesses, and with these sudden rise of these kinds of illnesses, I think what's actually happening is sensitive people that feel that things aren't quite right, or that there's tensions in the world that they can't resolve, and I think they're like the canaries
in the coal mine of life. Absolutely.
So like the sensitives, empaths, for instance, they're like the canaries of civilization.
Yeah.
So when tons of people start to fall because things just don't feel right, you've got to look at what's going on.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
And I think the body's like just saying to people, look, okay, come on, stop. Oh, look, this is what I think happened to me on Friday.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, you won't stop, I'm going to stop you. Mm. That's it.
Dramatic pause.
That was dramatic pause, wasn't it?
Right, should we crack on with a reading? I've got one in front of me called Who Am I?
Oh, this is hashtag Who Am I, which I thought was a really cool feature.
Yeah.
Do
I actually have to guess, or do I just give it?
No, I think that's a bit unkind, given that it might be one of 7 billion people.
Yes, and I don't even know if they're male or female.
They are a real person.
Yeah.
And I was in conversation with them, and they asked me to do this. So it's not like I am playing some sort of, wicked game on someone else. But they are open to this process.
Fabulous.
And I don't really want to say more, because I don't want to skew what their kind of angle on this, or yours for that matter. But yes, it's like hashtag Who Am I?
I love it.
Astrology. And Jackie, do we still need Jackie's details?
Yeah, because I can't find them.
Okay,
they might have gone through to your Gmail back in the days when we were scrounging for
voiceover artists. And weren't we blessed?
Yes, we were.
Weren't we blessed? Okay, so go with hashtag Who Am I this week.
Okay, so this week on hashtag Who Am I, we've got somebody, I'm not going to reveal their full date of birth, but suffice to say this person's born on Saturday, the 9th of June. If our friend Harry was here, he'd be able to probably tell us a few years when a 9th of June landed on a Saturday.
Yes, that'd be 1927, 1958 and 1973.
Yeah. This person's born with Pisces rising at 26 degrees Pisces, and Their moon is in early Virgo of 4 degrees, conjunct Uranus as well, and also conjunct Pluto. So they're very powerful people, these guys, whoever this person is. And their natal sun is in the third house of communication, conjunct Mercury, and they've also got Juno there. So there's a few different hooks. Like when I look at a birth chart for the first time, I look for hooks. I look for exciting areas where there's loads of stuff going on. And there's three main hooks here that I want to touch on. The first is in the 12th house of intuition and undoing and what we keep secret. So this person has got Jupiter in Pisces. Jupiter's very happy here. And it makes them very generous, a very generous, open-hearted soul, very generous. And their Jupiter is also conjunct Chiron. So this is somebody that's aware of wounds and has been aware of hurt and pain and other people's plights. They're a very sensitive person, very empathic, and they've got a huge heart. So this is a healer type, I would say, especially the 12th house, Pisces Chiron thing going on. They've also got Abundantia, the asteroid.
I love that name.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Chrysantia, also in the 12th house.
They're like two posh aunties, aren't
they?
Yeah,
they are. Like,
oh, quick, get the best china out, because Abundantia. And what's the other one? Coming round. Yeah.
But they've got these two asteroids there as well, which are to do with personal growth and abundance. So this person's got personal growth and abundance in the area of healing and expansion.
What, as in they need to get it sorted out?
This is one of their talents that they're born with, that they're aware of. I would imagine that they're an intuitive psychic person. Now, if they haven't turned it towards healing, then this is somebody that is probably getting that emotional energy out through writing or through art or something like that. It's a very, very creative person. The moon being a 4 degrees Virgo, it's in the sixth house of work. This person is very, very busy, okay? And this person has always been very busy and very meticulous and quite orderly in the way they think. Now, with the moon conjunct Pluto, you've got somebody who is quite dominant. They make themselves heard and understood. You know, these people can be very, very clear in what they communicate, and can be quite strong in the way they communicate it. So they can be shocking to people. And
I'm sorry, this is laugh out loud stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear who it is.
Yeah.
And also with their moon conjunct Uranus, they actually quite like to shock people with some of the things they say and in their work practices. And it's okay to be brash and bold like that. It's kind of like their stock, and they run their life in a very transformative way, and they have definite epochs. This person has had many iterations of their life, so to speak. So, you know, as one project comes to its natural end, they're already regenerating and growing the next one on. They've got Apollo in the sixth house as well. So this person's a natural leader. This is somebody who I imagine I'm going to go, oh my God, wow, how are they doing? You know, this is somebody that is not afraid to put themselves out there and to be of service, because the sixth house is to do with service as well. And Virgo, the Virgo energy of the sixth house, is very much into serving people and giving a gift to humanity. Urania, the asteroid to do with astrology, is actually on the descendant, to do with other people. So it wouldn't surprise me if they had something to do with astrology or the new age. And the vertex is also conjunct Urania. So this is somebody who has an understanding of the age of Aquarius. And the idea of unity consciousness. They've also got Neptune right on the cusp between the 7th and 8th house. So again, you're talking about somebody that works in transformation or wants to, somebody that believes in transformation. Now, the thing I really like is the sun is in the 3rd house, and the 3rd house is very busy. It's got the cusp of the 2nd and 3rd house and the cusp of the 3rd and 4th house, both in Gemini. This is somebody who is very happy to teach others and to share information. And with the natural Gemini sun conjunct Mercury, this is somebody whose mind is whirring all the time. Their sun and Mercury conjunction is also trine Saturn in the 11th house, not afraid to use social networking and not afraid to share their dreams. This is a really passionate person with a lot to give, a hell of a lot to give. Their talent, asteroid talent, is in the first house in Aries. Again, so they're not afraid to put themselves forward, and their talent has been, you know, recognised pretty much throughout their whole life. You know, they've had Uranus going over their talent for the last 5 years. So that will have brought them, either given them a sudden surge up or possibly a surge down, but it's made their talent kind of have a sort of up and down effect, probably. It's given them like spontaneity in revealing their talent. They've got Ceres on the part of the home. Ceres is the planet of motherhood, the asteroid, or the dwarf planet it is, of motherhood and parenting. And so actually, and then they've also got Juno conjunct that part as well. Now, Juno's about commitment. So you've got commitment and parenting right at the part of the home. This is somebody who really does aspire to maintain family values in their absolute personal life. And they might be a bit private there because everything else is so out there, and it just looks like, you know, their place of family and what's really, really valuable might be kept hidden. I don't know, what would you like me to say?
No, that's extraordinary.
Is it?
Yeah, it really is. And oh. I think if they would think that we'd set this up, because this is someone, I think it's all.
Do I know
say.
This person?
You do.
Really?
Yeah. And they are a skeptic. And this was a kind of setup in a way, which is a bit unkind to you, actually, to put you on the spot like this. But I had every faith in you, and you have been uncanny in your in your insight there to such
skeptic,
a degree that I'm
skeptic,
sure this
skeptic who is
this person would think it was a setup. So. I think one thing he did say was, you mustn't say I'm a conspiracy theorist, because that will give the game away. I'll tell you after, just in case. But I can't wait to chop this out of the show or point him to this to your reading there.
Really?
For you to for him to hear some of the things you said. It's quite extraordinary. I'm okay. So proud of you.
Oh.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing gift and skill.
Okay, well, I've got some more very special details that have just whizzed through to me, so I'm just going to pop these in.
Yeah.
We've got another reading about
to take
friend, place.
Are we going to say who this is?
It's can do.
Let's call him or her Jay. Yes. So that was Who Am I? Hashtag Who Am I?
I love that. Can we do it every week?
Yeah, definitely. I'll find someone else next week. Or this, what about this jingle?
Hashtag Who Am I?
Ooh.
Is that better?
A bit scary. Can you do it with an American accent?
What?
We got somebody. We got to find out who they are. Hashtag Who Am I?
Don't get that on every astrology show.
No.
Thankfully.
can you... I'm struggling a little bit.
What's that? What's happening? Well, I'm just going to say that you are listening. If you're a complete stranger to what we're doing here, this is the radio network that we're broadcasting on, is the Barefoot Broadcast, your transformation station. Currently, we do an astrology show on a Sunday night. This is what you're listening to right now, between 11 and midnight or thereabouts, UK time. And every other day, that's my intention anyway, is to deliver you a transformation talk show. And the premise of the transformation talk show is to give you a radio talk show unlike any other, where we are coming from the point of view of unconditional positive regard, active listening, and non-violent communication. All those lovely ways of being that honour the people in the conversation, so such that you might be heard and that you get listened to. And to experience how good that might feel, but also, I mean, really, the idea is that both people, all people listening, are raised up by it. So that's the idea of the Transformation Talk Show, and who knows what else might occur on the Barefoot Broadcast, especially when we start to take it on tour in September. I think we're going to do a little bit of economic migrant podcasting as well, aren't we? Because that's what we're going to be. We're going to be just one working title was our new life of Saturdays.
Living the life of Saturdays.
Yeah, but I think somebody's already done that. Oh. Kimberly says, that chart could have been me. Spooky. And it wasn't a setup, Kimberly. I wasn't changing your gender just to keep your anonymity there. And I think we've already got your details, haven't we?
Yeah.
But yes, it's so interesting, isn't it, when you hear that. Now, what's going on there? Because Kimberly's got an entirely different set of data, but is very has an affinity with what you've just said.
Well, Kimberly's got a very psychic chart herself with a lot of stuff going on in the 12th house.
Yeah.
Kimberly's got a great chart with amazing sensitivity.
Yes. Okay, excellent.
Right. Now,
we insist on that among all our listeners.
You don't have to be a healer to have a reading. Although the next chart I'm looking at on this edition of the Barefoot Broadcast is another healer type.
This isn't hashtag who am I, but hashtag we know who you are.
Oh, that's great. Right, this person, I added in some extra asteroids this week, even though I was going to do a continuation of the asteroid goddesses. It hasn't quite worked out that way, but I'm going to look at the goddesses and also these extra ones. But Abundantia, the little aunt
the
that you
famous,
mentioned earlier.
The famous kitchen manufacturer.
Yeah. And Crescentia. And also Apollo are on the cusps of the 4th, 6th, and on the cusp between Cancer and Leo in this person's chart. So this is somebody, like Apollo is to do with leadership. So they've got, I'm just looking at the asteroids here. I'll get to the main birth chart in a second, but this is just the first thing that came up. So I think it's, worth just, putting it out there. This person's got leadership in the 6th house of work and day-to-day living. So this is somebody who really takes great responsibility for themselves, the way they conduct themselves, and also how they lead other people. And Apollo also has a huge sense of prediction and prophecy themselves. So this is somebody who feels things coming. And whether they have any skills in translating that or not, they just know they have an instinct. They really do have a leadership instinct that brings through sort of accurate information. Abundantia at the cusp of the 6th house is really great news. It shows that you've got a natural ability to find yourself in positions to bring in money and to find abundance from your gifts. And your 6th house is the cusp is in Cancer, so it's to do with love and family and getting things right. It's about becoming a better person and spreading those values. This is somebody with great levels of integrity. So I'm going to start at the beginning of the chart. Now, this person's born at the time of the new moon, a little bit after the new moon. So they are really linked in to the patterns of the moon, and their birthday puts them as a Pisces with a moon in Pisces, really, really sensitive. I'm going to bring up the current transits of the planets right now, because this person's had Neptune and Chiron going all the way through Pisces, aspecting real key parts of their chart, and that will have, I don't know, the last 15 years has been pretty changeable. We would have seen this person's life go up and down a little bit with some severe changes, because Neptune, it shows up where all of our illusions are in our life, and all the things that maybe we've projected onto us and to our partners and to our families. And so this person has had to really get clear about what they've been projecting and what they need to accept as the truth. And they've been on a real journey for some time. But anyway, this is a very kind, compassionate person whose rising sign, the ascendant, is in Aquarius with Venus on it. This is somebody who wants peace on earth and who wants everyone to fall in love and who wants everyone to be happy. They're quirky. Really quirky. Aquarius ascendant people are very quirky, come across as very independent. Now, the ruler of Aquarius is Uranus, and their Uranus is in the seventh house. So, yeah, the love theme comes out again. This person wants love, but wants independence in love. So one of the things that they'll be striving for as a person, but also in their work, is how to empower people to find the balance between giving everything to everyone else and actually being able to receive and keep that independence going. They've also got Mars on the ascendant, which gives them a whole big jolt of self-determinism and get up and go. This person has got enough energy to, you know, to power a small village. And they've got enough sales ability, you know, to promote themselves and get themselves out there. Now, their Mars and Venus ascendant are in a nice trine to talent, which is also conjunct their north node. So they've always been aware of the direction they're going in, and they've always been able to make the direction they're going in work for them. So even when they're not, you know, like a plane, you know, a plane is always changing its course slightly.
Are we talking about flat earth theory here?
No. You know, like you go up into the sky, you have to adjust all the time.
Yes.
And it's not that they're changing the direction. You know, they're still going to the same place, but they're just doing it slightly differently all the time. They're always adjusting. And it's the same for this person with their talent. They have a talent to just find themselves on the right path. And so it doesn't matter whether they deviate or not. They're just always there anyway. Their Neptune is on the cusp between the 8th and the 9th house in the sign of Scorpio, which, wow, it gives them the chance to publish and teach about transformation. This is somebody who is a very good communicator, who can find and channel information that can be used for people in their own personal growth and transformation, and they're able to teach it in a really compelling way. It's also somebody that can bring fantasy to life and make a living out of fantasy. In the 10th house, the 10th house in Sagittarius, I would imagine that over the last year or so, you've been getting very serious about, well, there's two effects. You've had Saturn going over your midheaven and in your 10th house. And technically, Saturn is still in your 10th house. The 10th house is to do with your achievements and your public persona. So one effect of this is, because Saturn's a great teacher, if you were really prepared for this time, this would have been something that you set up for yourself, say 7 years ago. You just set up some great projects and you'd be thinking, in 7 years time, this is when I'm going to collect, this is when I'm going to reap my harvest. And as Saturn went over that, you'd be able to use the Saturn energy of stability and finding form and giving shape to your achievements. This would have been the time when it was rewarded for you. But if you haven't already got the supporting, you know, a little bit of the structure, a little bit of the content organized before Saturn gets up there, then when Saturn gets up to your 10th house, Saturn might be teaching you a lesson about it. And so he might have actually been saying to you, hang on, what have you achieved in the last 10 years? Because all I see is a load of content, but it doesn't quite make sense. It doesn't all fit together. So I would imagine that in the last couple of years of Saturn's been in your 10th house, that you have organized your thoughts a lot more, either pushed yourself forward massively if you were really, really prepared for it and ready to go, because it can be a really useful time. Or if you weren't quite ready to go, I imagine you'd have pulled yourself back, like did completely the opposite. So it's no in between. You either pushed yourself forward or pulled yourself back and thought, I'm not quite ready to, you know, I recognize now that I need greater structure in my abilities. I need greater structure to bring forth my desires and my public persona. So I'm going to take myself out of the public and fill in the gaps and reconstruct, you know, where there's a hole in the bottom of the boat, you've been in repair mode. But Saturn is about to leave your 10th house and go into the 11th house of social marketing and networking and getting out there and collaborating. And you've got a good 11th house with Jupiter in there, with Vesta. What you're passionate about and what you're expansive about, what you're generous about, are the people in your life. And when you start working with them, then, which I'm pretty sure all of your structures are in place there pretty nicely, because you're such a great person. As Saturn goes there, Saturn's going to give shape and form to your social networks and your contacts, and that can skyrocket you. I could talk so much about your chart, but I think I've got to move on now. I've just got the nod and the wink from
my
producer there.
Just coming to midnight, the witching hour, certainly here in the UK.
I'm happy to continue as long as we can, but we might, have we run out of speaker at a spreaker
at time? Not at all. No, I was just being pedantic. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly 60 minutes of the astrology show and this asteroid goddess continuation.
Mm.
What have we, do you want to say more?
No, I think what I would say is...
Well, she's going to hate me, isn't she? You were really getting into your flow
no,
then.
No, no, what I was going to say is, has that been useful? You know, so we'll put it out there for that person to come back to us and let us know how useful it was. And then if they've got any questions about what I've said, I can come back to it.
All right. So just a couple of things then. Anything that you want to say with Mercury in retrograde and the eclipse, or anything about the coming week and times? That's one thing.
Okay.
The other thing, before you do that, as a kind of end piece there, just to let everyone know, if you want a mini reading, what we tend to do, we're settling into a nice little format now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Where you're doing a little bit of kind of teaching and general insight in mm-hmm. the first half hour, it feels like. And,
yeah.
we're chatting about things and going off at all sorts of asteroid dodgeological tangents. and then in the second half hour, doing mini readings for people. So if you'd like one of those, what we need is your time, date, and place of birth. And we also might slip in a hashtag, who am I, as well. So do let us know if you would like that done for you. And thank you to Kimberly for joining us tonight. It's so nice to know that we've got friends tuned in and listening.
Yeah, it's lovely,
and
isn't
we
it?
Just hope, Kimberly, you find us more entertaining and pleasurable to be with than the likes of the BBC and LBC and other networks that are available.
Yeah, it's really lovely that Kimberly's been tuning in to listen to us each week. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah,
so thank you
it's
very
really,
much
really
for
good.
That. Healing's... What is she? Healing's best kept secret?
Yes.
Is that what someone said?
Yes, somebody did say that.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's not kept secret now.
No, it's out.
I think we should let it out even further.
All right, so let us know then. The eclipse, the Mercury in retrograde, the coming week, the coming times. What's on your mind?
Last thing I'd like to just finish on is the total solar eclipse that's coming up on the 21st of August. Got a few weeks before we get there. But if you think about the partial lunar eclipse tomorrow, which is about, look, we've got some stark choices, we need to rethink. So you've got the partial lunar eclipse that's presenting this idea that the structures we've got might not be the wisest for our survival. Then you've got Mercury going retrograde, which is asking us to rethink and actually to dream up something bigger and better. And then some of the themes of the total solar eclipse, I think... you've got the moon and the sun conjunct, which always happens at the time of the new moon, which effectively is what it is, and also at the time of the total solar eclipse. But they are square three asteroids, and these three asteroids are all conjunct the descendant. So the descendant represents everybody, you know, the collective world. So conjunct everybody, you've got the asteroid Hephaestos, the asteroid Isis, and the minor planet Sedna. Now that's they're three really key things. Planet Sedna is to do with resurrection and reassembling, and also where we've been betrayed. So with Sedna, our parents, our dad in particular, like the father figure, so that could represent corporations and governments and the masculine dominant force that is ruling us and setting us up for the structure that we live in. Sedna is to do with being cut off, the parent cutting us off, like cutting all our fingers off and drowning us.
Yeesh.
Which is a horrible, horrible image. The asteroid Isis went around to try and reconstruct her loved one that had been severed and cut to pieces. And she basically went around the world finding all the pieces of his body and stitched them together. Couldn't find a penis, but I think magicked one up. Stitched her lover. So she's standing by her man and she's reconstituting. And she's also a message about motherhood, fertility, resurrection, reassembling. So you've got two ideas of severed limbs and being cut off from the magic of life, but the fact that you can bring them back together. And then Asteroid Hephaestus is the god of fire and forging something. He forges something beautiful out of ugliness. So that's three asteroids to do with ugly situations that still make good on them. So I think we've got, you know, in August we've got the partial lunar eclipse that's saying we've got these options and it's pretty serious, we need to do something. Then we've got Mercury retrograde saying let's think about this, let's see if we can think about something better. And then the total solar eclipse on the 21st of August, we've got a pattern to do with making good out of the ugliness and reassembling. So this isn't a really doom and gloom. I just wanted to kind of put it out there that there are suggestions, there are other opportunities, and I think we are going to be forced to think differently. And that's my end of the message.
Excellent, thank you very much indeed. We'll be here next week at will we be here next week?
I hope so.
I think we're going to be at the Off Grid Festival. So maybe we'll do an astrology show there. But we will certainly have a Barefoot Broadcast astrology show next Sunday. We may take advantage of the fact that we're at the Off Grid Festival. Do check it out if you're interested in, if you're a survivalist. If we want to make good of a lack of the national grid, it might be something for you to check out. Should be a lot of fun, actually, all sorts going on. Do beg your pardon, all sorts going on at the Off Grid Festival just outside Exeter at Biophilia, where we'll be doing some podcast postcards.
Could I ask, who am I? Who was it?
That would be Stephen Park. Take care. Bye for now. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Astrology Show on the Barefoot Broadcast. Find out more at www.louisatanamunson.com.